Would you all help me finish these well-known proverbs? Nothing ventured, nothing gained. Don't put all your eggs in. When the going gets tough, the tough. Don't count your chickens before. I'm waiting for a few smart remarks. I know there's some funny ones out there. You're doing good. Make hay while all work, no play makes Jack. Yeah. One young girl said, all work and no play makes Jack a father. How about this one? Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will. Well, let's look at Ecclesiastes. Because that's from Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Here it is. I'm going to read the first 6 verses of Ecclesiastes 11. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Now, who got that? Well, we need a few. We need to spend more time in Ecclesiastes, maybe. Give a portion to 7 or even to 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on the earth. Verse 3, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. If a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. That's wisdom. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with a child, so you don't know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and at the evening, withhold not your hand. For you don't know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. This is the word of God. Thank you, Father, for this ancient wisdom from King Solomon. I pray you would bless it today and multiply it as we cast it out into our ears this morning. May it be fruitful and multiply and feed your people with your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. William Carey was the father of the modern missions movement. And he said this, I'm not afraid of failure. I'm afraid of succeeding at things that don't matter. I'm not afraid of failure. I'm afraid of succeeding at things that don't matter. Now, that's a good summary of the book of Ecclesiastes. Because King Solomon, 1,000 years before Christ, he had experience. He succeeded at all kinds of things that didn't matter. And he wrote about it. And he told us how meaningless and how unhappy he was. Because he did all that without God. It may sound strange to us, but there is such a thing as a successful failure. I heard a story about a farm kid. He got a dirt bike and he started riding that thing around the farm and inside an old silo. He would ride around and around on the inside. It had no top, nobody used it. And then he made a little dirt ramp and he'd start to get the wheels up on the side, and get a little excitement. And he thought, you know what? I bet you I could go all the way around this thing on the inside of that silo without touching the ground. So he gassed it, and sure enough, after a few tries, he got that motorcycle all the way around the inside of that silo without touching the floor. Then one day he got brave and he said, I'll see how many times I can do this. So he got that dirt bike up on the side of that silo and he went around and around, faster and faster, higher and higher, dizzier and dizzier. Now what are you going to do? Hit the brakes? He gassed it and he flew right out the top of the silo. That's what I mean by a successful failure. He did it and ended up in the ER. Well, let's take a look at this passage today because Ecclesiastes is written to us to be realistic in life about what things can bring us success, what things can bring us happiness, and want things don't matter at all. So there are four God-approved activities in the passage I have read. First, it says live generously. Second, it says help as many people as you can. Third, it says believe God in spite of all the uncertainty. And then fourth, it says keep on keeping on and leave all the results to God. So let's look at those one at a time. The first point is verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters. That means send it away, for you will find it after many days. The point is live generously. Live generously. In fact, the bread might come back buttered. It might come back peanut buttered with jelly. There's a promise, a command, and a reward there. Live generously. Now, Bible scholars aren't sure what it means to cast your bread on the waters. My guess is it just refers to sowing seed. Casting your bread is sowing your grain. And that idea is in Isaiah 32, verse 20. It says, happy are you who sow beside all waters. Happy are you who sow beside all waters. Cast your seed on fertile, wet ground, good soil, and you will find a harvest. 1 Corinthians 9, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. If you want the Lord to do more in your life, just give your life away more and more. Sow more good seed in your spiritual life. Now, some translations take a different tactic for cast your bread upon the water. They say, send your grain overseas and gain a profit, as if it's speaking about commerce. Now, that makes sense. You know, get your grain to the loading dock and send it off on the ship, and you'll get a good profit. King Solomon had fleets of ships 1,000 years before Christ. He had a fleet of ships on the Red Sea, another fleet of ships on the Mediterranean. In fact, there's a story in the Old Testament, 1 Kings 10. It says that Solomon would send his ships out. Every 3 years, the ships would come back. And guess what was on the ships coming back? Gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacocks. That's cool. Some translations say baboons. Now, how fun would that be? Now, you'd never know the fun of that ship coming back if you didn't send it out. Now, while there's no guarantees that our generosity or our commerce will be rewarded, it's God's policy for us to live forward, to live generously. Your ship isn't going to come in if you don't send it out. Your seed isn't going to produce if it's still sitting in the sack. Cast your bread upon the waters. Live generously. That's the first point. The next point is help as many people as you can. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 2, it says, give a portion to seven. You know in the Bible, that's the perfect number. That means you're helping a lot of people, seven people, or even to eight. For you don't know what disaster may happen on earth. Well, it just simply means help as many people as you can, when you can, and then some. So help seven people plus one. My philosophy of work is do whatever the boss asks me to do plus one more thing. That's a pretty good philosophy. When you're helping people, help as many people as you can plus one more. And give while you can. Don't wait for the day when you have nothing to give. Proverbs 19:17 says, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. Remember, your giving is not just to people. God sees it. It's a gift to him. Help as many as you can. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Help as many people as you can because God will bless that gift and you can't outgive him. Now, I think about my mother. Some of you know my mother lived to be 103 and she was a giver. And I'll never forget the time we went to see her It was two or three Christmases ago. I think it was two Christmases ago. Cindy brought the cello. Reggie brought the guitar. Kairos and I were singing. And we were doing Christmas carols for Mom. And she, you know, was it Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Well, she was such a grump that day. She wouldn't sing, and she loved to sing. She wouldn't even say hi. She wouldn't even look at us. And I'm thinking, Mom, you know, it's Christmas, and we're playing this beautiful music, and, you know, we're not too bad singing. All she could say is, come on, let's go. She wanted to go eat. So we left. That was our Christmas. I think it was two or three days later, maybe Wednesday, I get a phone call. Now, that's quite a big deal for my mom because she would have to get help to make a phone call to me. She called me up. She said, Roger, I'm so sorry. I acted the way I acted Christmas Day. It was so nice. Anyway, she started going off like only my mom can. And then she said, do you know what? I can't walk. I can't write. I have nothing to give you. I can't even write a Christmas card. And I'm so low. I'm just so low. I just couldn't pull myself out of my slump. But I love you. I love you. I love you. She just went on and on. Well, anyway, that was my Christmas a few days later. Give while you can. For Mom, that Christmas was a disaster. You know why? My mom's a giver, and she couldn't give anything to us, and that just crushed her. So when we have a chance to help somebody, let's help them now, because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You don't know if you're going to be able to help them tomorrow. So let's lean forward and help people while we can. Help as many as you can. Don't put it off. Third, he says, believe God in spite of all the uncertainties in life. You know, we can have a million excuses why we won't do what God wants us to do. Look at some of these. Verse 3. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. If a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. See, this person is a weatherman or something. He sees the dark clouds and he says, I can't do anything today. Look at the weather. He said, well, you want me to do all this? What if a tree falls down? And I don't even know if it's going to fall this way or fall that way. I can't give or help somebody out today. And then the tree falls and I'm dead. So, this guy is talking himself out of doing what he knows he should do. And then verse 4, he who observes the wind will not sow. I know the farmers, they watch the weather all the time, but at some point you got to get the seed in the ground, right? There's not going to be the perfect day. He who regards the clouds will not reap. You know, you may have to bring the corn in when there's snow on the ground, but at some point you got to get out there and bring in the harvest, right? You can't just stay in bed because you're worried about the weather, the conditions. As you do not know the way of the Spirit, comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with a child. Think about that. There's that baby. God is working on that baby in the womb, knitting that beautiful child together. So there's a lot of things going on in this world, but God is still working. In that quiet, hidden place, He's still working, even in the weather, to work out His will and His ways. So you do not know the work of God who makes everything. Well, so far he said, live generously, invest widely, help as many people as you can. But then we run into this gang of ifs and buts and excuses. You know, what if it rains? What if a tree falls down? What if there's a tornado? Well, nature happens. Put that on your bumper sticker. You know, nature happens. That doesn't mean you stay inside all day long. You still have to go and work and live and serve. Life is unpredictable, especially this year, 2020. Am I right? We still don't know where we're going to be as a church this fall. We haven't yet heard from the superintendent about the fall. He's still trying to figure things out. There's so many uncertainties, but God is at work. So keep going. David Livingstone, do you remember him? He was that missionary to Africa and that great explorer. He traveled, after being in Africa more than 30 years, he traveled 40,000 miles, crisscrossing Central Africa. No white man had ever walked from east to west through Africa. I think he did it more than once. And he's not just walking on pavement like this. He's walking through lions and bears and tigers and elephants and snakes and everything you can imagine. They called Central Africa the white man's graveyard. But he survived. He lived there for over 30 years. And he brought the gospel to all of South Africa. Well, David Livingstone was there sharing the gospel. He also wanted to try to find the source of the Nile River so he could disrupt the slave traders and find a different way to get them some civilization and some good industry. And then he died at the age of 59 in Africa. They took his heart out and his internal organs, and they buried him under a tree in Africa, Central Africa. And they covered his body with salt, wrapped him in a sail, and it took 8 months to carry his body out and ship it back to London. He's buried in Westminster Abbey. One day, a missionary society wrote to him and said, David, we've got some men. We can send you help. Let us know when the roads are in. David Livingstone wrote back, if all you have is men who will come when the roads are good, I don't want them. I want men who will come when there is no road at all. The point is, there's no guarantees in life. God doesn't guarantee us a smooth road all the time. Sometimes we have to just make it with His strength. I think the kids were singing about that. Trust Jesus. In a fallen world, nothing is ever completely safe. God puts you together in your mother's womb. He can keep you together in your life. Trust Jesus. You know, the news is just preoccupied with fear. Every time you turn on the news, trees are falling, winds are blowing. We can be afraid to go outside. Trust Jesus, even in all the uncertainties of life. And then finally, he just says, keep on keeping on and leave all the results to God. Even though there's no guarantee, all our hard work will pay off. Just keep on keeping on. Verse 6, in the morning, sow your seed. And in the evening, withhold not your hand. For you don't know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Solomon is trying to tell us, you never know in advance if any given day or any given activity will be successful. You just don't know. You don't know if you step up to bat, if you're going to hit the ball or strike out. Well, just get up there and swing the bat. Who knows? Maybe something good will happen. That's his attitude. Nothing is guaranteed. Get up in the morning and sow your seed. Walt Kaiser said the key to this whole section is that phrase, withhold not your hand. That just simply means don't stop working. Keep your hands busy. A certain number of things aren't going to work out, but if you keep going, a lot of things are going to work out and be successful and give you happiness. So keep on keeping on. Keep on doing all the good you can with the hands, with the strength that you have. And let God decide if it's going to be successful or a failure. His hand will determine it. We leave the results to Him. Someone said, take a risk. Go out on a limb. That's where the fruit is. And I hope that's our spirit this morning as we approach a new year. that we will live generously in the year ahead. We'll help as many people as we can. We'll believe God in spite of all the uncertainties in life. And we'll just keep on keeping on, taking risks, loving Him, serving Him, and let Him take care of the results. Amen.